How do you sound? How do I sound?
You do this every week.
Do I sound good?
You always sound good.
My name is Shake Sula, the Mike Ruler, the old schooler. You want a drink? I bring it to ya. Frylock, I'm on top.
Fucking Frylock?
Yeah. You know Frylock's great. He had diamond in the back and he shot shit out of his eyes.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good one.
Yeah. None of us are meatwad.
No. None of us should be. So you're Shake?
I'm Master Shake, yeah. I feel our kinship with Master Shake.
Yeah, but you're not zany enough for Shake. And nowhere near conniving.
That's true, but his sort of like chill attitude with life, I get.
Shake had a chill attitude with life?
Yeah, he just wanted to hang out in Carl's pool. He never wanted to go on adventures.
He always had a get-rich-quick type of scheme.
That's good. Remember the episode where he kept going to like Guatemala to get different plastic surgery, and he got like pec implants and like a chin implant.
Yeah. And then it started to get infected.
Yeah.
That is a TV show that was ahead of its time.
I actually wanted to talk about it in segment two, but I did a whole lesson on Adult Swim in class.
Yeah, we'll save it. So let's introduce ourselves.
You are the bearded one, the wise man, the Dumbledore, the Obi-Wan, Mr. Emilio J. Sparks.
Hi-o. And you are the Kilowog of the Green Lantern Corp.
Oh, wow. I didn't get that one.
Over there is Michael Buongiorno.
Hello. Happy to be here. Glad to be here.
And as you already heard, this is Pop Culture Man Children. We are coming to you from my bedroom.
The Den of Woes.
It is the Den of Woes, but expect a little pick-me-up soon. I'm changing the schematics of the room.
Yeah, you moving out?
I would love to, but sadly, no.
What are you doing? You building a fort?
I'm just going to paint it differently.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the, you've only got one wall painted. The others are painted white.
Yeah, that was
and it's like a maroon red kind of thing.
No, that is a cranberry red.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Get your reds right.
It doesn't look cranberry to me, though.
Well, that's what Home Depot said, that it was cranberry red.
You believe everything Home Depot tells you?
I mean, it's the only place to get paints outside of Sherman Williams itself.
Why don't you fucking wake up, huh, sheeple? Wake the fuck up.
Well, where else are you going to get paint?
Duties. Is Duties still around?
I don't know if Duties is still around. Reiman's Hardware I might have to go to because I'm really big into supporting mom and pops.
Yeah, like an old hardware store.
I would love that, like with a gritty old timer who just like that's his life.
You want me to make you some keys?
Yeah. You need some washes, kid?
I can make you keys.
Yeah, they're made of steel. But yeah, so I'm going to change up the room a little bit. I'm going to paint some fangs.
You're listening right now, but in case you're not subscribed, why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button on iTunes?
For the love of God, please, because I am under the impression that it's just maybe three people that listen. Two of them are in this room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's you, me, and
Nadia.
My uncle. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher. You can follow us on Really Me on Instagram under Pop Culture Man Children.
Please.
And of course, Emilio is a big presence on Twitter. You can always at Emilio Sparks. We're not on Spotify, but I wonder if they have a episode minimum requirement. Maybe that's what's keeping us off Spotify. Because this would be, I think this will be episode 21 when it airs. And maybe you need like, I don't know, 50 to be considered. I really doubt that they look at the content and make a value judgment.
I'm already on there?
For what?
WrestleRap?
How many episodes you have?
40?
That's twice what this is. What is the criteria?
I don't know.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I didn't know.
Must be nice.
Well, I didn't know. Somebody brought it to my attention. One of the WrestleRap faithfuls was like, hey, guys, you know you're on Spotify? I was like, no.
Do you ever do plugs for this show on WrestleRap?
All the time.
We're not seeing those numbers.
I say, hey, guys, if you want to listen to me and a buddy pontificate about toys and other things from childhood.
And then they unsubscribe.
And buzzwords like nostalgia.
I imagine that wrestling fans are also fans of like Star Wars. I know our friend Kat and Paul, they are Star Wars fans and comic fans and big wrestling fans.
Well, I do get a couple of Snapchats about Pop Culture Man Children because they've listened to me plug it on WrestleRap. Whatever. Listen to both shows. Just do that, all right? Listen to both shows. This is what we do. We're grown men sitting in a bedroom talking on microphones.
Where do you record Wrestle Rap? In here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you have WWE superstars just come in the bedroom? Did he sit in my chair?
I've had.
Have you had John Cena in here?
No. Who, the new Steve from Blue's Clues?
Let's go to the news! So, first of all, let's all just... I don't want to stop a train dead in its tracks, but can we all just appreciate how great my segue just was? There's nothing like... There's no sign of a true professional than when he stops and asks you to appreciate his skill set.
You are the king of segues, my friend.
So, the upfronts, which is something that happens for TV critics and investors and stuff, you know, it's part of TV culture, and the upfronts happen every year, and it's when they give you clips and stuff of new shows. It's like a presentation. It's when they show, like, clips. It's basically like, here's our new shows, and the networks do it. It's a big deal in TV. So Nickelodeon is rebooting Blue's Clues, and as a bit, it's not real, but as a bit, John Cena came out dressed with the green striped shirt and was like, I'm going to be the new host of Blue's Clues, but it was a bit. He's not going to be. But the original Steve, who you might remember, left Blue's Clues to pursue a film career.
Everybody thought he died of a heroin overdose.
Well, that was back before the interwebs, and people would think things like that. He said, well, I want the job back, so I'll wrestle John Cena for it.
I think
he was joking. I don't think he's insane.
Have you seen what Steve? The original Steve looks like?
He is bald now.
Has not aged well.
He looks a little like Michael Stipe-ish, a little Moby-ish. Certainly not in the shape Mr. John Cena is in.
If anybody can handle the precocious Blue, it would be John Cena.
I think he's got talent, John Cena. I mean, no one saw Ferdinand, but I imagine he'll do good things. He's in that Cock Blockers movie coming up.
Do we want to go see that?
Oh, I'll see it.
I mean, the scene where he's chugging beer from his asshole.
Which was so good, they were like, this needs to be in the trailer.
Could you imagine that wins him an Oscar?
Yeah, I think Cock Blockers is really going to sweep next year's Oscars. I wonder if they're going to talk about why he looks like he looks, or if they're going to do what they did in the 80s with Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and just not talk about the fact that he's Austrian and a bodybuilder. Like, he'd be like a cop or like a normal dad, and he'd be like, no one's going to mention this guy looks like a fucking action figure.
Why? You don't think certain dads look like John Cena?
No, I don't. I think there are certain dads in great shape, but they're in great shape because they get up early and they go to the gym before work. John Cena can fucking work out all day. He can eat every 20 minutes or whatever. It's a job to look like that.
So you don't think you'll ever look like that when you have children?
I have no obligations now, and I look like shit.
Well, you don't look like shit. That's not nice to say.
No, I'm okay. I've been doing more cardio.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So you want to get in Cena shape?
I want to call him out. I want to be the host of Blue's Clues.
See, I think that would be a more equaled match. You versus Steve, because you guys kind of
No, me against Cena.
I don't think you and Cena. Cena would destroy you in 2 seconds.
You know what I would do? Here's my move. I'd go up to him, I'd tickle his ribs, and then he'd giggle, and then I'd have him.
Do you think John Cena is ticklish, though?
Oh, I believe so.
I don't think so. I think he has, like, diamond skin.
So that doesn't make him not ticklish. You can be ticklish. Muscles don't make you not ticklish.
I just think
he's got nerves.
I'm not ticklish in that area.
I'll take your word for it. Are you ticklish anywhere?
No, not really.
I'm ticklish in my stomach, like a person.
So you literally just told Cena, because he does listen to Pop Culture Man Children.
Shit, I forgot he's the third listener.
That you're ticklish.
Nah, that was a bit. That was a bit. I'm setting him up.
You sure about that?
I'm setting him up.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull an AT-AT from Empire Strikes Back, and I'm going to run around him in circles and just like tie up his legs until he falls. Because you know what, Emilio? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's what I got over Cena. I got a low sense of gravity.
I think he's seen it all, and I think he
I think he's seen it all.
Mike will be at the Houston Laughing May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets now on our Instagram page, at Pop Culture Man Children. I don't think you could beat Cena, pal.
What about if I did it over-the-top style arm wrestle?
No, here's what you do.
Yeah.
You infiltrate Nikki Bella, which weakens him,
Why does that weaken him?
Because you will create a jealousy where Nikki Bella might want to start a really good friendship with you when she FaceTimes you, when she texts you, when she tweets you, all this Blue's Clues stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you just get her so comfortable where she lets her guard down.
And then I'm in his head.
Yes.
What if I just don't shower for like a month like people do when they go to prison and they don't want to get fucked up? Like, you think that would throw him off?
No. I think he has that competitive spirit, that hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Yeah,
thing.
But where was that spirit when he signed on the dotted line for Ferdinand?
He thought Ferdinand was going to go.
From the trailer, I was like, nah. And I like kids movies.
Yeah, but those kids movies go, though.
I mean, kids movies, even when they're bad, they make money. Yeah, you know what?
That shitty Sherlock Gnomes is going to be good.
I was just going to talk about that, but you know what? We're going to save that for trailer corner. All right, so the next thing in the news, I don't even know how to get in. This is a big story.
If it's more about Summer the Purple Penguin, you could just leave.
No, it's not.
All right, stay.
We've got to talk about the curious case of what the fuck is going on with Stan Lee.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
This is an onion with many layers, with a lot of weirdness. No one knows exactly what's happening. So let me try to start at the beginning. Last summer, it was reported that he had exposed himself or sexually harassed one of his nurses. But that story didn't go anywhere. It appeared for a couple days and then stopped. But then the next thing you hear is that one of his nurses is under investigation for elder abuse for the same thing, because apparently she was like touching him and he's so old that it's like she would get in trouble. His wife died last year, and now supposedly he's like in love with this woman who's his nurse. Then we've got the case of his manager, who's been his manager for years, who he fired, even though people think that the manager like really took care of him. And it's because his daughter doesn't like the manager. And the manager doesn't like his daughter because he thinks the daughter is after his money. There's also a million or so dollars missing from Stan's finances. Somebody's been taking money. I don't know if it's a daughter. I don't know if it's a manager. I don't know if it's a nurse. I don't know if the nurse is in bed with the manager and they're playing a game against him. I don't know who's against who. I don't know what's up. He's probably going to die because he's been fighting pneumonia. He's old, man. He's like late 90s. He's like old. And pneumonias can really take you out at that point. I mean, he did a video where he was like, I just want to talk to my fans. But it didn't make anyone feel better. It just looked like, oh, man, this guy's out of it. He's a hero of mine, and when I first heard the thing about the sexual harassment, it was one of those ones that hit home. We don't know if it's true yet. I talked to a friend about it, and I have a friend who works in a nursing home, and I was like, what do you think of this? Because the friend's also a fan. And she said, I work in the dementia ward in my nursing home, and I know what people who have dementia look like. I could see in their eyes when they've lost their memory. And she said she met Stan Lee at a con, and she said, I saw that look in his eyes. She said, I don't think that he harassed people. I think that he doesn't know where he is half the time, and they just throw him in front of a camera and say, all right, time to do a cameo. Now, that's just the opinion of somebody who met him once, and yes, it's me as a fan wanting it to not be true, but we don't know yet. Plus, there's all this other stuff. The money missing, the daughter, the manager, the nurse, the sickness. A lot of stuff's going on over there with Stan Lee.
Let's take one thing at a time.
Yeah.
The sexual harassment dispute. I find it odd that there was no other case out on Stan Lee.
Right. When I first saw...
Especially in... When he was king shit of
in the 70s.
In the 70s.
Yeah, when I
when
first
he was
saw
wearing
the...
ascots like Mr. Furley.
Right.
When he was smoking cigarettes and he had that really bad toupee.
Right. When that headline came up, I thought, oh, this is going to say in the 70s or 80s he like was a sexual assailant.
Yeah.
And it's – well, supposedly it was this one nurse that he exposed himself to, but then the nurse who's now under investigation is this new nurse.
It just doesn't make sense to me because –
it's weird that one nurse said he exposed himself, but then the next nurse supposedly – is touching him inappropriately, maybe to gain his money or what? I don't know what's happening.
First off, why would you want to touch old balls?
He's got a lot of bread.
But their balls are old, though.
Well, she has to... She has to shower him anyway. the public doesn't realize how old and out of it he is. So part of her job is to shower him. So supposedly during the shower, she would like jag him off. But again,
can he still
people
get it up though.
I don't know. Maybe it just 110? Feels okay. If it's proved, then I will disavow him. I must be honest with myself that I don't want
He's
it to
95
be true.
95 years old. If he didn't do anything, then why would he start now? That's the thing.
I don't know. Well, that's what my friend said. Maybe he's just out of it.
He has to be out. He's 95. I can't see a 95-year-old Stan Lee in his retirement home exposing his old balls to a woman.
Well, you know what he calls that?
Excelsior!
He calls that the cameo. This is terrible. I don't know. All right. So there's that part of it that's weird. Then there's the manager thing and the daughter thing.
What is going on?
The manager hates the daughter hates the manager, and both claim that the other are trying to take Stan's money.
Nobody could take Stan's money unless Stan gives them power of attorney.
That's easy to get, though. I mean, recently...
Well, maybe the nurse that's touching his balls is going to get power of attorney.
All you need to do is put something in front of him. I didn't cover this. I was going to cover this on the news last time, but I had too much other stuff. Somebody wrote, I think it was the New York Times, wrote an article about Harper Lee's lawyer. You know, Harper Lee... She famously only published one book, To Kill a Mockingbird, and then she said she never wanted to publish again. And then all of a sudden in her 90s, when she was blind and deaf, she was like, I'm going to publish another book. And her sister, who had taken care of her whole life, had died. And now she's making deals, she's signing things, and she signs over a lot of her power to her lawyer. And this New York Times article that I just read was like, we've now seen what's in her will. And it's like, the lawyer gets this, the lawyer gets this, the lawyer gets this. So it's real shady shit. So the same thing can happen. Someone can just put a piece of paper in front of Stan and said, hey, Stan, can you sign this? I'm here to take care of you. And then you've got access to everything.
He's only a producer in name on these Marvel films.
He's got money, though. He's
well, Marvel
got money.
Gives him $1 million a year for life. Now, I don't know if that goes into his kids.
He also does events and things. He probably had a little money stored away. He's probably okay. There's an estate there. People have done worse for less.
Yes, that is true. But my thing is what happens when he does go? Who gets the money?
Which could be soon. At this point, it looks like the daughter's going to get the money.
This really does sound like a Marvel comic playing out in front of us.
This sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
Right down where the comic code is like, oh, old balls are mentioned. We disown this.
It's a real greed story. I don't know what's happening. And of course, the man is ill. I don't know.
Especially if he's out of it.
He seems out of it. When you see like Comic-Con photos, it looks like they just prop him up in a chair and people come by and smile next to him, and he's just like, he just sits there. I don't know what they pump into him to get those cameos, but he's not as lucid in real life as he is in those cameos.
No, he has to be kind of out there, you think?
I mean, he's lived a long life. He was born in
1922. He's seen some shit.
Jesus Christ. He was born before talkies.
He was born before World War II.
And now he's in the talkie business.
He makes talkies for a living.
Good for him. Do you think he's going to die?
Wow. I would not want to see that. I would like to see him live another 5 years so that we can get the hashtag Stan100.
You know how we'll know, right? We'll come outside one day and we'll look up and there'll be a watcher in the sky. Oh, shit. Something historic's about to go down.
And you just see the watcher watching.
There's a watcher. Let's scoot over to the trailer corner.
I like trailer corner.
See any trailers lately, brah?
I keep on seeing more Ready Player One trailers.
And they're getting better. They're getting better at marketing that movie.
Yeah. Which was, I was scared at first.
Because the first trailers were reference, 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 nostalgia.
Well, this one was kind of cool because I did see the DeLorean do a Tokyo Drift a la Fast and Furious.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Which is interesting because... Famously, we know about the DeLorean. It doesn't need roads.
No, but this thing is just tearing ass on the streets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The trailer came out a few days ago that has more of the plot in it. That made me excited. Like, okay, this looks like it's a story, actually. And Olivia Cooke is in it, who was also in Thoroughbreds, and she's just great. So I was like, okay, she's good. This might be a little bit, and the reviews came out, and some of the reviews were like, it's a little nostalgia heavy, but then some of them were pretty good. I'm excited about it.
I think visually so far it's been stunning. And I don't even think we've seen half of what we're going to see in this movie.
Yeah.
I like that they're finally now baiting us with actual plot and what goes on. Yeah. Because like the first two trailers were just bombarded with the buzz feels.
Yeah. Look, it's nostalgia. Iron Giant. Yeah. Look, it's Chucky. How do you feel about the music they've been using? They had that really cool remix of Take On Me. And then one of the trailers had a really weird remix of If You Want to View Paradise, well, simply look around.
I love 80s new wave, so I'm a fan.
So that looks good.
That looks really good. I also...
The new Infinity War trailer gave me... Seriously, I had literal chills. Like, I had chills.
You ever do that thing where you... Like, something runs up the spine?
Yeah, that's what I got.
And you do, like, that quick
shimmy. I got a little ASMR from the trailer. You know what looked really cool? There seems to be a flashback with him with baby Gamora. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You see, like, a little green hand holding his hand? He says in the trailer he wants to get rid of half the universe, which might imply that death is in the movie.
Well, it has to be if it's following the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, but, you know, they get fast and loose when following things. I heard that Thanos is, like, the star of the movie. Like, we follow Thanos. Like, because there's so many characters, like, what holds the movie together is it's, like, Thanos' story.
I think it should be Thanos-centric because I want to see why.
You're a Brolin head. You want more Brolin.
Let me tell you something. I can't get in. I follow him on Instagram just to make sure.
Just to make sure he's on point?
Yeah.
How is he? Is he working out every day?
Massive.
Yeah, he's cable, too.
I want to be that jacked at his age.
How old is he?
He's like 50.
This is the problem. We have jobs. We need to not sleep.
Well, I really don't have a job.
Get up at... Do things?
Do things for money, yes.
Can you explain a little better? That sounded terrible.
I work in radio.
Yeah, you work in radio.
But it's only 4 hours a day.
Then why are you... All right, I'm not going to get into personal shit. I was going to say, why don't you answer my text till 5 p.m.?
I'll
get a text at 5 p.m. Just woke up.
I do.
I'd be like, Emilio, I'm leaving work.
I just wake up. Because I'm there all night. Bro, things are happening at night.
Why don't you get the Soul Stone? What happens at night? You're out there looking for the Soul Stone?
Yes, I am. I want the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
I want to live in that world with Adam Warlock.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
I think that movie's going to be good. I'm glad
Remember, it's half a movie. There's another one that's going to come
out. I'm glad that we're getting that. And I want to see this weird infatuation with death. I want that.
I heard a rumor that it might not be death, but they might replace death with Cate Blanchett's character from Ragnarok.
I mean, that's cool, but...
And she's already been established.
Yeah, but the idea of death as a character, and he's head over heels for her? Dude, think of it this way. Now that they own Deadpool...
Yeah.
Could you imagine death, Deadpool, and Thanos?
Do you think because Deadpool is so good at breaking the fourth wall, there'll be a scene in Deadpool where he calls him Thanos?
I think now, no, because the movie was probably...
I don't know. They made that joke in the trailer about...
Is it still shooting?
No, I don't think so. I think it's done.
I mean, he could always do a voiceover, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's in that mask.
Yeah.
There's that great line in the trailer. He goes, it's not like we're trying to remove a mustache.
I don't know, man. But I hope that they do something... with that, though.
Yeah.
Hela would be great, don't get me wrong, but she's not death. Or maybe they throw us all for a loop, and it was death the whole time.
She was death?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar with death.
Did you read the Infinity Gauntlet?
No, I haven't.
It's good.
I have not.
It's good. And yeah, half of humanity does go. But he plays like a really sick deity to impress death.
I tell ya.
Now, what I want to know is this, will he be a self-saboteur, or are we going to see that he's just this badass with an agenda?
Who knows? I hope that he is a villain that is a little bit deeper than I'm evil and I want to kill half the world. Like, I want motivation. Villains are better when they have actual motivation. Steppenwolf from Justice League, I don't know what that guy was up to. I don't know what he wanted. I just know he was a baddie.
He just wanted to do something for Mother.
He was a baddie. See any other trailers, bro? There was a trailer we talked about before. I forget what it was.
I saw it. I think you'll get a kick out of. Little Winnie the Pooh movie.
Yeah. I'm glad we could talk about it, because Nadia didn't see it.
I'm not big into Disney. I think that's known. But how can you not love Winnie the Pooh?
I really appreciate that it's the Pooh voice that they've always had. They didn't go for some celebrity. Because to me, that makes it feel like, oh, that's really Pooh. They got really Pooh for this.
Yeah.
It's legit. And I like Mark Gatiss playing the role he always plays, an uptight British man.
You wouldn't need to be typecasted for something. Be Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's always
he
work.
He writes half the things that he's typecasted in.
Well, I mean, there's work to be. There's always work.
Yeah, yeah. I love him on Sherlock as Mycroft.
I actually might go see that movie.
The trailer is very, very much a teaser, and I have no idea where it's going to go. How does Pooh help him with his problem if he has to fire people?
Another thing is this. He looks like he's a well-adjusted husband. He looks like he's a well-adjusted father that loves his wife and loves his kid. So he wants to go above and beyond and make them happy. The only real crisis in this entire film is laying off the employees.
It's a little bit like Harvey with Jimmy Stewart and the imaginary bunny. I think that's what they're going to go for. Because in the trailer, he goes, I think I've cracked. Like, he thinks he's gone nuts. Maybe Pooh's going to be like, oh, you know, capitalism is the fairest thing we have. And, you know, they signed, you should give them their pink slips. You know, what if Pooh's just a real hardline fucking capitalist?
No, I can't see him doing that.
You should give them all honey.
I can see Winnie the Pooh saying, no, they need to keep their jobs for their family.
Mark Gatiss doesn't understand.
No, you need to keep their jobs. It's important. They have families as well.
You sound like Mr. Bill from SNL.
Oh, bother.
Oh, bother. You think Eeyore and the gang will be in there?
Oh, God, I wish. Rabbit? No, I guarantee you that'll be for this. If this movie takes off, there'll be a sequel.
Rabbit always annoyed me.
Maybe they should kidnap Christopher Robin's child and bring her to...
So the plot Poulan. Of Hook? Poulan? You mean the, what is it? The whatever forest? 100 Acre Woods?
Whatever it's called.
100 Acre Woods.
That's what happens. And then
so Pooh's the villain.
In the next one.
Oh, in part two.
Yeah.
He's got like a patch on his eye.
And somehow we see Ewan McGregor wear a robe, and he has a beard, and he's carrying a lightsaber.
I thought you would describe the plot to that meme that's been going around with Winnie the Pooh having lightsabers. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks good. I'll see it.
I mean, Disney owns everything at this point, so.
Isn't it the truth, brother? All right, let's take a break. All right, take a break.
Welcome to you.
And how do you do?
Everybody's waiting here at Pooh Corner, waiting for you and Winnie the Pooh to have a happy oopty-poo time.
Gloomy old Eeyore nods his head. He worries away the time.
Thanks for noticing me.
Owl makes his speeches long and loud without any reason or rhyme.
And I remember my Aunt Matilda on my uncle's side. My Uncle Orville, that is, who often said to me,
Rabbit is busy pulling weeds. His carrots grow tall and sweet.
Kanga is baking pies and cakes that little Roo's waiting to eat.
And Piglet, forever cleaning house, is doing his daily sweep.
What a mess.
Tigger keeps bouncing up and down, perfecting his tiggerly leap.
Say, this is Tiggerific!
And here comes Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, tubby little cubby all stuffed with fluffies. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy-nilly silly old bear.
Well, welcome to
welcome.
You. I'm Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie.
Everybody's waiting here at Pooh Corner, waiting for you and me, Winnie the Pooh, to have a happy hoop-de-poo time.
Let's have a happy hoop-de-poo time.
This is Pop Culture Man Children. What up, y'all? It's Emilio Sparks. I am joined by Michael C. Bongiorno.
The C is for Christopher
Robin.
I actually never liked the name Christopher. I'm glad it's not my first name. My mother wanted it to be my first name. My father was like, no.
Well, you don't look like a Christopher.
No, I don't. I look like a Mike.
You do look like a Mike.
A Mikey. Ayo.
Why, I wouldn't go.
Mikey Bag of Donuts.
I wouldn't go there with those stereotypes, but okay. I was impressed with how grown up you've become over the 15 plus year friendship, because we were talking about a recent Facebook timeline post.
Oh, yeah.
About our friend and yours, Joe So Delicious, and you look like a completely different person.
That was a long time ago when I was running with that crew. That was a motley crew back then.
You were a rebel without a cause back then.
I had hair. I was fatter.
I like the you now.
I'm the best me now.
I think so.
I'm about 20% Prozac.
You got a toy collection?
You know what? I got a better toy collection than I did as a kid.
All because you have jobs.
I got it.
You can still grow your hair. You just refuse to.
It would it'd be thin. It would be too weird. It would be. It's basically like it going. It's like not all the way gone, but it's going. If I grew it, like you could see, like here, like it's, you could see like the light. If I grew it out, you would still see my scalp.
Yeah,
which is the worst way to lose your hair. The best way is to recede the hairline, because that could even look good. And then the second best way is the spot in the back. And then the third way, the worst way, the way that I'm losing it, is it all just gets thin. You look like a pedophile. You look like the kind of person that they say, move along, sir. Move along. You can't watch this Little League game.
You don't want to, when you get older, grow out the sides and have a monk haircut? Where it's just like all this is gone on the top and you just have the sides? Like the Mr. Burns?
No. I don't want that. I don't want the Patrick Stewart. No.
I think that would be so dignified
for you. The Larry David? No, thank you.
Especially because you do teach.
I feel like when you shave your head, you exert some control over the situation.
Have you ever been to like an actual barbershop, or do you do it yourself?
I do it myself. I went to barbershops when I had hair.
What type of barbershops?
I tell you what, a super one.
Oh, you did it.
I had a friend who...
You used to go to Supercuts?
I had a friend who worked there. And I used to text her, and she'd be like, you come right now, and we had a good deal. She'd give me the discount.
I always hated Supercuts.
I had somebody that knew what I needed.
Yeah, but no, those are horrible haircuts. Don't even go there.
No, it's horrible.
Supercut haircut is like getting a haircut in the mall.
No, it's horrible haircut when you walk in out of nowhere, and they just cut your hair. When you know somebody for years, and they know what you want, and they know what works for you, it's fine.
I beg to differ, babe. You're talking to a man that has ingrained himself in barber culture for many, many years.
Oh, my God.
It's a world. There are barber shops out there that are ridiculously good. A lot of them are on Staten Island.
I'm not going to do a barbershop minisode. Don't even bring it up.
I think we could examine
don't even
barbershop culture.
All right, well, maybe we'll do it.
But listen, you don't think that there is a cultural thing, specifically, let's just say, in Staten Island, or maybe even in New York. Maybe it's a New York thing.
It is a thing. It is a thing. It's not a thing that I understand.
And this would be my treat. Grow it out a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe 2 months.
All right.
And we go to a barbershop.
It would look terrible.
And we let the barber do everything nice.
But how...
He'll line up the beard. He'll line up your beard as well.
Shaving the head is shaving the head.
There's an art to it, though.
I go all the way down.
But there's an art to it, though. The way you box everything out, the way that the straight edge razor can start to line up the beard with it, so it all blends together.
I'm not playing games like that.
This is not. What do you mean playing games?
I don't play games.
This is grooming.
I don't play games like that.
Why don't you come with me? I'm going to go get my beard done this week.
I shave my head. That's what I do. I do it.
Oh, it's your thing.
Yeah.
It's about control.
I don't need to pay somebody to shave my head. I don't care what he thinks
he's
going
to do. But you're going there to get pampered.
I don't want to get pampered. I don't need that.
You don't want a nice hot towel and a straight edge razor across your face?
No, I don't.
I'm going this week. Why don't you come with me?
Sometimes when I go to the sushi restaurant and they give you a hot towel, I just put it on my face.
It refreshes you.
Have you read or watched or seen anything lately?
Yes, I have. I am reading several things, actually, right now.
Okay. Is that a porno mag in that brown bag?
God, no. That's how I protect my comics when I read them on the commute. I am on volume 4.
Volume 4 of Swamp Thing.
Book 4 of The Saga of Swamp Thing by Alan Moore.
How many more books are there?
6.
You're almost done with the saga.
Almost
how does that make you
done.
Feel?
It's really good. And right now, it's the American Goth saga is ending.
Okay. Is that the arc where Swamp Thing hangs out at Hot Topic in the mall? He gets himself like a cool like Panic at the Disco t-shirt?
No, he wears an As Tall as Lions and My Chemical Romance t-shirt.
Oh, all right. Okay, cool.
That's what he wears.
Cool.
But what they're doing now is they're doing more vampires and werewolves and the idea of the devil.
Okay.
But they're doing it in a good way where, like, the vampires are not just vampires that eat you and they drain your blood. These vampires were fish vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And an entire civilization of vampires were living in a lake. Then they go and they show that...
Sounds like they ripped off that Doctor Who episode.
Then they show that a werewolf is a woman. It's just...
That's super woke, bro.
There's some deep shit in this book, man. And this was in 85.
I know. Are you sad that it's ending soon? Because when you're on a run of comics and you know you're coming to the last issues, it's sad.
I'm trying not to think about that. Because I still got another two. Because
it reminds you of your mortality?
Actually, this book has reminded me of mortality
a couple of times. That's what Alan Moore is about. He's not about fun and games and capes and tights, my friend. He's about, let's look into the darkness and let the darkness look into you. Alan Moore related question.
Yeah.
You've got an amazing beard right now.
Yeah.
You say you're going to shave it?
I might.
If you shave it, can you, just for like a day, bleach it gray and walk around cosplaying as Alan Moore?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I will. Do I look like Alan Moore?
No, but with the gray beard, I mean, you're 60% of the way there.
I am a hairy indivisible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
So I've been reading that.
Very cool.
When it's all said and done, I think we'll do a mini on Vertigo as a whole.
We got to plan that because I got to read a bunch of stuff too.
Well, you'll have to read all 6 volumes of Swamp Thing.
I'm down with that.
Be prepared because it'll blow your mind. You'll be like, this is the best comic book in the world. This is the best comic book character in the world.
Do you prefer Alan Moore's Swamp Thing to Watchmen?
I think it's better than Watchmen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. And I've read Watchmen, but I think this is better.
All right. I feel you.
And then the second thing that I'm reading.
What do you got? I can't read the cursive of it.
The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
What is that about?
Demons. And how they are trying to take over their patients,
mm-hmm,
to convert to their side of this eternal war of good and evil.
Wait, is this related to Narnia at all?
No.
I didn't know he did things that weren't Narnia related.
Yeah. It's just a fictional format about, like, characters addressing temptation and Christian theology issues and things of that nature. I mean, it was the English is a little rough because it's 1942, so there's definitely a different style of the writing. But, you know, Demon Screwtape writes his nephew Wormwood, who is a junior tempter. Mm. And, you know, the uncle's mentoring him pertains to the nephew's responsibility, or sometimes lack thereof, in securing damnation of a British man,
uh-huh,
known as the Patient.
Okay.
I like the fact that C.S. Lewis provides a series of lessons in the importance of taking a deliberate role in Christian faith by portraying a typical human life with temptations and falling as seen from a devil's viewpoint.
Uh-huh.
Not to get all religious-y.
Sure.
But it comes off like a bureaucracy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's a business. You know, there's like an administrative post. It looked like that it's a branch of a big business.
Yeah.
The second letter is where it starts to get really good because the patient converts to Christianity and Wormwood is chastised for allowing this.
Mm-hmm.
Screwtape explaining to his protege the different purposes that God and devils have for the human race.
Okay.
Like one of the funny things that I got a kick out of, he goes, and this is in letter WrestleMania 5, 6, 7, 8. As I like to call them, because everything's in Roman numerals.
Sure.
We want cattle who can finally become food. He wants servants who can finally become sons.
That reminds me of a book series that I read that is, it reminds me of it, but it's in no way similar. The author Chuck Palahniuk has written 2/3 of a trilogy that he hasn't finished. And the first book is called Damned, and the second book is called Doomed.
Mm.
And it's written in letters. And the first book, which is better than the second book, is it's actually a takeoff on Judy Blume's Dear God, It's Me, Margaret. And it's a little girl writing to Satan. And every chapter begins with, Dear Satan, it's me, I forget her name. And it's this little girl writing to Satan, and she's like the daughter of these rich, kind of like Brad and Angelina types, but they don't really love her. And the first book is her in hell. And then the second book is her back on Earth as a ghost, which is what they call purgatory. So the assumptions from the fans is that book three, she'll be in heaven. But book three has not come out yet. And I've never been a Palahniuk fan. I think that the Fight Club movie has like created a cult of people that don't get what that movie's about. Mm. But they're fun books. They're fun books.
Well, I like it because I'm not really a religious intellectual maven. I don't try to sit and deconstruct what religion is or what it should be. You know, my stance on it's my stance, and I keep that rather private.
Yes.
You know me. I'm not one of those throw the you know, the Bible at you kind of people.
No. For a religious man, you're actually a pretty immoral scumbag.
Yeah, 1,000%. So what I like that the book tackles more than anything else is it discusses sex, love, pride, gluttony, and war. I think what C.S. Lewis tries to capture is that even intellectuals are not impervious to the influence such as demons.
Mm-hmm.
One of my other favorite quotes is, God wants man to be concerned with what they do. Our business is to keep them thinking what will happen to them.
Hmm.
And I've been really analyzing just myself and the whole idea of ego around this time of Lent. Especially,
you mean the bad guy from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
No, I mean our egos. Yeah, not Kurt Russell.
Got it.
Even though that's what I think our egos look like, I think they look like a handsome Kurt Russell.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole idea of ego, like that's what I've been thinking of. Like this 40 days of Lent is supposed to, like, you know, build you closer.
Did you give up something?
I gave up a lot of things.
Anything you could say on the show?
I'd rather keep all those personal. I'll tell you off air.
But, I'm not interested. I'm only interested in speaking to you on air.
But publicly, no, I won't. But the whole idea is to think about the idea of ego and then your relationship, quote unquote, to God. And I took a different approach with that. Like I said, mine's more about ego and looking at how I view others, mm-hmm, as well as myself. And I'm trying to analyze that.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been thinking about for almost 40 days.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of reading.
Wow, that was so profound. Let me follow it with something not profound. I've been reading Gwenpool.
At least you're reading.
Yes. I was actually on the bus not that long ago, and there was a man reading next to me. And this might sound elitist, but he was moving his lips while he read, and I was like giggling at it to myself.
Why?
Cause,
why do you have to be a piece of shit like that?
I don't know. You're right. It does sound elitist. It just seems like that's a silly thing to do. But I should just be happy that he's reading.
Yeah.
I should be happy that anybody reads anything.
I don't see a lot of people read.
No, everyone's playing games on their phones.
Or sleeping. Or just looking down at their shoes.
I sleep on the bus all the time. And on the train. I get sleep on the train standing up. But I'm a real New Yorker.
It's the only way I can knock out my swamp things.
On the train?
On the train and on the ferry.
I can't read on the bus because it makes my tummy hurt.
I'm sorry about that, but that's some of where the best reading.
I know. I used to be able to do it. I don't know what happened to me. Something happened. I grew out of it. So Gwenpool's cool. She's a teenage version of Deadpool. To publicize Spider-Gwen, they did a month where every Marvel comic had Gwen Stacy on the cover. So Deadpool had Gwenpool, and people just liked the design of that costume so much. It got popular and people started cosplaying as it. So Marvel was like, we need to make a comic of this. But they didn't want to do Gwen Stacy again. So Gwenpool is a woman from our world named Gwen Poole, P-O-L-L-E. And she gets sucked into the Marvel universe. And she becomes Gwenpool. And she doesn't have any power, but her power is she's a fan. So she knows everybody's backstory. She knows everybody's continuity.
Also, she doesn't regenerate.
No, she doesn't regenerate. She actually can easily get her ass kicked. Like, there's a funny scene where she's fighting with the female Thor, who is Jane, who was Thor's girlfriend. She realizes that if she says her real name, she might throw her off in the fight. So she's trying to remember, and she's like, oh, what's her name? What's her name? Natalie Portman played her. And, like, she says shit like that because she's from our world. Like, she meets Dr. Stephen Strange, and she shows him the movie, and he sees Benedict Cumberbatch, mm-hmm, in it. So it's fun stuff like that. It's fourth wall breaking the way Deadpool is, but it's interesting because it's fourth wall breaking in a more narrative way because there's a reason why she knows that she's in a comic. It's pretty interesting, but it's ending. Hopefully Gwenpool will be back. She's a fan favorite. Hopefully when this series ends, she'll make her way back into something else at some point. I'd hate to see the character totally go away. Right now I'm reading a really cool book called Kill Creek. It's about these four horror writers, and they are sort of all kind of down on their luck, or like they've hit snags in their career, so they need publicity. So this rich internet sort of mogul is like, I want you to come and stay a night in this haunted house, and I'm going to interview you all for the internet, and I'll give you all like $10,000 each. And it's a young Stephen King-ish kind of writer who's very into like American gothic stuff. Then there's a writer who's kind of like Stephanie Meyer / V.C. Andrews. And then there is basically a guy who writes kids horror. He seems like he's supposed to specifically be based on R.L. Stine. And then there's an old man who's like an old master. And they all go to this house. And I would almost say that you should read it if this sounds interesting to you at all, because the synopsis I'm giving you is not going to do it justice, because you're thinking, okay, I've seen haunted house movies, I've read haunted house books, there's nothing new here. I'm here to tell you that this book has a subtlety that most stories like this don't have, and this book genuinely makes you scared, but the fear isn't just like monsters, it makes you fear your past. And because all four characters are writers, the book is in some ways about writing. It gets very deep on like how they write a book. And it's just, I'm not finished with it yet, so it can end badly and then I come back on the next episode and say I hate it.
But that's how Volume 4 of Swamp Thing goes. It makes you think about yourself.
Absolutely, which is what all great art does. So right now I'm reading Kill Creek and so far I love it.
Not really a lot of watching going on right now.
No, I mean the last thing I really watched was, I saw Love, Simon.
How is that? I want to go see that.
I haven't read the book, but I love the movie. Look, it's not Moonlight. Do we really need a story about a middle-class white kid? And I get it. But at the same time, why not? Why not have a story? It doesn't erase Moonlight from existing. I mean, Moonlight is a great movie. It won Best Picture.
Yeah, I don't think Love, Simon is going to move anything for Best Picture.
But no, but it was really good. And again, it was one of those things where, kind of like with this Haunted House book, I thought, okay, this is a teen movie, I know where it's going to go, and it didn't hit those beats that way.
Yeah.
It did original things. The real crux is the coming out narrative. I cried at the end of it.
Well, you cry over everything.
I know, that doesn't say much.
I mean,
if I ever were a professional critic, instead of stars, I do tears. This movie gets 3.5 tears.
How many tears did Love, Simon get?
4. I started crying when his dad talks to him, and I'll leave it at that. And then I kept crying until the surprise ending where we find out who it was he was talking to.
It's a lot of tears.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm shocked you're hydrated right now.
Well, that's the thing. When I say I cry, it's not like I'm like weeping like I'm at a funeral. Like the tears will start and they'll roll down my cheeks and then like I'll just stay watery.
I've never witnessed you cry.
Yeah, you haven't.
I have to go to something with you where you cry.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the next movie. You know what? We'll see Pooh together. I bet you Pooh will make me cry.
And I'll just sit there and just look at you like, ugh.
Because there's going to be a dramatic scene where Eeyore kills himself.
I'll just be like, hey, man, just wasn't happening.
And everyone's going to be like, we saw the signs. We saw the signs and none of us helped them.
And I'm just sitting there like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
And I blow my nose on your shirt.
I'd allow it.
Thank you, friend. Do you want to take a break?
Of course.
Of course, this has gotten too deep.
Yeah, this is a really heavy segment.
We'll be back.
When you feel a tear in your eye, it usually means you want to cry. So if you've been hurt and it hurts real bad, or if you have feelings that are making you sad, then it's okay to cry. 'Cause I know that when I'm done crying, I can talk about what's bothering me. And though my face gets wetter, I feel much better if I talk about what's bothering me. Oh, crying is nature's way of helping bad feelings go away. So if you've been hurt or are feeling bad, Whether you're a kid or a mom or a dad, it's okay. It's okay to cry.
'Cause I know that when I'm done crying, I can talk about what's bothering me. And though my face gets wetter, I feel much better if I talk about what's bothering me.
Yes, that works for me.
Emilio, did you enjoy your break?
Yeah, actually, I've been drinking a lot of lemon water since the voice is a tool. You have to keep the tool hydrated and strong.
You've got to take care of your instrument. I've been drinking iced tea. I'm off iced coffee, as you know.
Why?
I wanted to have better digestion. My tummy was aching. I was literally like ODing on caffeine. I was getting headaches. And I thought stupid me would drink more coffee because I thought, oh, I need coffee because I got a headache. It's like, no, I'm giving myself the headache from the coffee. Look, I still have coffee. I have a small hot cup in the morning and maybe a small hot cup at night. But all day long, I'm drinking iced tea, unsweetened iced tea.
And you're still getting a caffeine fix.
Right.
You're just lowering the dosage of caffeine.
Exactly, exactly. Because I'm trying to not be... My old therapist used to tell me that I was too much like all or nothing, that I never would go for the middle of things.
I could see that.
So I'm trying to do that. Also, I've got a fear of dementia as I get older, and supposedly caffeine can help stave off dementia. That and reading. So I'm set, I think.
So at 95, when we're in nursing homes, you won't expose yourself to your nurse?
No, well, I'll have a robot body at that point.
Yeah, by the time we're 95, we won't Stan Lee it. I just think we'll have bodies.
Brother, I'd like to make it to 45. 95, are you kidding me? Fuck.
Just get it how you living, fam.
All right, you want to hear my obsession?
I would love to hear your obsession.
He was born October 22nd, 1952, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, one of four children of Shirley, a radio broadcaster who also ran an applications firm, and Harold, a doctor. His father was of Russian Jewish descent, and his mother was of Austrian Jewish ancestry. Jeffrey Lynn Goldblum began his career on the New York stage after moving to the city at age 17. Possessing his own unique style of delivery, Goldblum made an impression on moviegoers with little more than a single line in Woody Allen's Annie Hall, where he fretted about having forgotten his mantra. Goldblum went on to appear in the remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers and co-starred with Ben Vereen in the detective series 10 Speed and Brown Shoe before a high-profile turn into classic ensemble film The Big Chill. The quirky actor turned up in the suitably quirky film The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, which became an 80s cult classic. He also was, of course, in David Cronenberg's The Fly. He was one of the punks in the original Death Wish. We can't forget his star-turning role in Steven Spielberg's dinosaur adventure, Jurassic Park. I am truly obsessed with Jeff Goldblum. I'm not joking. At least once a day, I put Jeff Goldblum into YouTube and I watch old interviews with him on Conan or something.
Follow him on Instagram.
He is my hero. I can't stress that this isn't a bit. He's the kind of guy where I look at him, right, and I hear him talk and I go, he gets it. Whatever it is, he gets it.
Yeah.
He seems happy. When he's talking to people, he seems to genuinely care about what they're saying, even if they're just like a fucking interview at a junket. He's like, what's your name? Tell me about you. He seems truly delighted by everything in the world. I did some deep research on him. There's no creepiness in his past. There was actually one satirical article that said Jeff Goldblum accused of assault, and I thought, oh, God. And then I clicked on it, and it said Jeff Goldblum accused of sexual assault by raptors on the set of Jurassic Park. So I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, I know it's a joke, but if anything, Sam Neill's the one who's touching raptors. Am I right? Sam Neill.
I get it.
He's the other. All right. Maybe because I'm a person who's dealt with depression in my life, I'm always attracted to somebody who seems happy. But he seems like zen and happy. Like he has figured out the joys of like a quiet day. I don't know. The internet loves him, and I'm with it. Recently, he did a video, I think BuzzFeed did it, and it was Jeff Goldblum reads thirst tweets. And it's all these tweets about people saying they want to fuck him. And he read it in his Jeff Goldblum-y way.
He is a man of a certain age.
He gets better looking.
Oh my God, dude, do you see how good he looks?
Yeah, he looks
great. First off,
great.
He's ripped. Secondly, he has a keen sense of fashion. He's always in
GQ.
He's
got a great sense of fashion.
He's always in GQ.
Yeah.
I hope to look like Jeff Goldblum when I'm his age.
Really, he's great with
And the fashion. He just had a son.
He just had a second kid.
Yeah, and he's old.
Yeah. His wife is very young, but it seems to not be like a weird May-December relationship. And they're always holding hands. It looks very genuine. He did have other wives. He was married to Gina Davis for a long time, who he did both The Fly with and Earth Girls Are Easy.
That's a good movie. I like
that
movie.
He plays like the blue alien. It's been a long time since he was in a great movie. Like, he's great in movies, but it's been a long time since he's been in a great movie.
Yeah.
That's what he needs, I think. But he does Wes Anderson movies. He's in that new – he voices one of the dogs in that new movie Isle of Dogs, which I'm so excited to see.
But if you look at it now, especially his GQ stuff, for a man at 60 years old, he's aged extremely well. And I think now – he's better now, I feel, than he was when he first started out.
Like, he was thin. Like, he's shirtless a lot in The Fly, but he's not toned.
No, he's very toned up. And, you know, and then there was a little bit where he had a little paunch in his belly. But now it's just –
This is what I'm saying. This is what I admire. He has figured it out.
So why can't we figure it out?
Because we're not there yet. We don't wear enough pinky rings. We're not there yet.
Should we get pinky rings?
He does it. He dresses in pinky rings and fucking bow ties, and you never feel like he doesn't pull it off.
But are we pinky ring and bow tie kind of guys?
I think you just have to wake up and go, I am a pinky ring guy.
Do you even own shirts with collars?
I own two shirts with collars. One I bought recently for a funeral.
We're t-shirt men.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of my thing. I try to wear a different t-shirt every day to class. I make it like an Easter egg for my students. We were talking about this off mic when we were talking about our health, because when we're not on mic, we actually aren't talking about pop culture. We're hemming and hawing about our health and the salads we eat and shit. And we were talking about how, like, as you get older, you have to be in better shape.
Yeah.
And I think in that regard, Goldblum is a hero.
He is a hero. He's an everyday hero.
He is.
I love him.
What's your obsession?
That's not as good as yours, but it is the alcohol addiction of Bailey Salinger in Party of Five.
Okay. When you first started watching Party of Five, I asked you, is he an alcoholic yet? You're up to it now.
I'm up to it now.
What season is it?
Three.
So season three, he starts being a booze hound.
He graduates high school, goes to college, and starts to get into that college crowd.
Yeah. That's what happens.
But he's young still. He's only 18.
Yeah, that's true.
He moves out of his house because it's too chaotic there. You know, the stress of raising his sister Julia, mm-hmm. who was played by Neve Campbell, and Claudia and baby Owen. Even though it's all Charlie's responsibility.
Right.
You know, Bailey comes in and... First off, I think Scott Wolf plays it very, very well.
Yeah.
But there's like this air of cockiness to Bailey Salinger, and he thinks he knows better. But in reality, Charlie is really the glue that holds that house together.
So what is he so stressed about, Bailey? You're not the man. Charlie is.
And Charlie's dealing with his own shit too, because they played up the idea of mental illness with his ex-fiancee, Kirsten.
Huh.
So Charlie's going through some shit right now.
But Bailey's the one who's hitting the bottle.
He's
a demon in a bottle, if you will.
Yeah, he's very Tony Stark in that way. You know, I think
what does he drink?
Beer.
He's a beer guy.
Yeah, that college beer thing.
But
which is it, because what he's doing is he's obsessed with collegiate wrestling. So now he's obsessed with that. Huh. But he's
a wrestler?
Yeah, he's a college wrestler.
But the alcohol isn't affecting him?
Well, he's starting to fuck up because he missed a couple of practices.
Because he's out
there
boozing.
And the coach, played by the lovable Dan Lauria, who played the dad from The Wonder Years.
He also plays Toby's dad on This Is Us.
I can't wait to see that. We have to have Dan Lauria on this show.
Oh, my God. I'd be so intimidated by him. I'd be afraid he's going to tell me to turn off these lights. Turn off these lights. I don't work for Con Ed.
Dad. I want to know where we're from, who are we, where do we come from? And all the old man did was look up to me and go, we're from Newark. And he looked down and went to eat dinner. Yo, watch that episode of The Wonder Years. It's so fucking good.
Dan Lauria. He was born a dad.
He's got reminds
the face
me
of a dad.
He reminds me of my dad.
Dan Lauria would be a good Thanos.
Ooh. But see, there's a likability to Dan Lauria, though, as well.
He scares me. He scares me.
He's good.
Imagine him with the Infinity Gauntlet flipping burgers on a grill.
They would just disappear.
Now, all right. Who do you prefer, Dan Lauria or Dan Hedaya?
Oh, Dan Lauria.
Dan Hedaya all the way.
Why? Why do you say that about Hedaya?
First of all, the guy's got a 5 o'clock shadow.
Always.
All day.
Yeah.
I love him as the villain Tully in the first Addams Family movie.
Yeah, he is good.
And of course, he's great as Cher's dad in Clueless.
I liked him as Carla's first husband, Nick.
Yes.
In Cheers.
Yes.
But nobody beats Lauria.
He's the Hedaya all day. In the Battle of the Dans, it's Dan Hedaya all day.
They're two different Dans, though.
They're both very scary men.
I don't think Dan Lauria is scary. I think he's intimidating.
How Dan Lauria didn't get to play Fred Flintstone in a movie, I don't understand. What was happening in the 90s that went to John Goodman?
John Goodman was in a bigger television show that didn't end in 94.
But Lauria.
Lauria ended in 94.
He was born for that role.
Yeah, he was.
He was born for it. Yeah.
But Dan Lauria took a liking to him, so he let him.
He's the coach.
But yeah, so he let Bailey go into this big tournament that his team should not be in.
Okay.
Because they stink.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bailey's succeeding in it because he has heart and he has determination, but he's hiding his alcoholism. He's drinking every night. Sarah broke up, who was played by the lovable Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes.
America's sweetheart at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I think he's dealing with a lot alone and wants to isolate his family because I think the stress or the reminder that his parents are not around bothers him.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he's drinking, because he's never really fully grasped the passing of his parents 3 years ago.
I see.
And that there's all this responsibility and the burden on him and his older brother, Charlie.
Is this the best storyline in the show?
I don't know. I got, you know, it's 5 seasons in total.
What's Neve Campbell up to?
She is dating a older gentleman. She is 17. He is 26.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the season 2, she was fantastic because she had a miscarriage and she was dealing with the idea of pro-choice and abortions and all of this stuff, and it weighed heavy on her conscience.
Yeah.
And she withdrew herself from her boyfriend, Justin, at the time.
I had such a crush on Neve Campbell in 1996.
I don't like her.
I loved her.
I think the character mostly comes Julia Salinger is very selfish.
Well, I'm not talking about that character. It comes from Scream and it comes from The Craft. I was just like, she was the perfect girl next door. She was the Farrah Fawcett of 1996.
But, see, I would think the other one would be.
Which one?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I liked her, too. I was into the horror slasher movies, so I liked her because she was in What You Did Last Summer.
Now, which was better, that or Scream?
Scream was much better than that.
I didn't see both, so I can't tell you.
I Know What You Did. I haven't revisited I Know What You Did Last Summer probably since 1997. Then there was a sequel, which was not very good.
I still know.
But you know what's funny? Not a good movie, yet Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar are still happily married. Green Lantern, not a good movie, but Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. So if you meet your love on a shitty movie, you might have a good relationship. So where does this end? Is he more or less of a drunk?
Well, when you're sitting alone at a bar after your come-from-behind victory in the All-Stars in college wrestling, and you're sitting at a bar drinking, talking to a man that's half-passed out on a bar who's not even paying attention to you, I think you have a major problem.
But is he better or worse than Kevin Pearson?
I don't know, because I'm in the middle of season 3. And with Kevin's addiction, they just glanced over it real...
It happened real quick.
Real quick. And then he went to Vegas and he didn't act
up in Vegas.
And
Ron Howard was like, don't worry, you're still in solo. Bailey's not on the pills yet.
Well, opioid addiction wasn't big back then. It was either like coke or booze.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
And heroin was the sleepy come from behind deterrent.
Yeah, it's not like now where everyone gets hooked on fucking oxycodone.
Yeah. But this one, they're really developing. And they did it so
subtly.
You
gotta do it slow. You can't do it fast.
That's what they did. They were smart. They slowly, you would see him, he had a beer in his hand. Then sometimes he would, like, you know, drink something, or he'd make a reference to spiking some punch or mm-hmm. saying, hey, let's go get a pitcher and talk, you know, different ways like that. Then you would see, oh, I went to the grocery store. I got us some beer for a game. Let's watch the game, drink a beer. And now it's like you start to see like he's drinking more and more and more. Like now
it's not just overnight like Jack Pearson.
No, this is the way they tell it. It obviously you tell a season within months.
Right.
So it was it started.
But it's subtle.
It started at the end of season two and it went into now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's smart. It's smart.
I hate TV shows where they become a hardcore addict right away and they solve the problem right away. Like it's not something people struggle with their whole lives.
Yeah.
All right. This is Pop Culture Man Children. Follow us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Listen, just Google us. Hit subscribe on the iTunes.
We spell pop culture as two words.
Yes, Pop Culture pop Man Children.
Culture, there's no hyphen.
No. Just PC to the MC. All right. Starting ES and MB.
You bet. All right, babies.